This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. The banjo, truly an iconic American instrument. And this weekend, it's going to be celebrated in its very own symposium at UNC Chapel Hill. The gathering is called The Banjo, Southern Roots, American Branches. Riley Bogus is a master banjo player, knows a lot about that instrument. He's a banjo maker. He's going to be playing at the festival. He joins us right now on our show, and it is so good to have you back. Riley Bogus, good to have you here.
Frank, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be here with you. This is always a fun show to do.
Yes, this is, and it's been too darn long.
It's been a long time.
That's a heck of a banjo you've got there.
Well, what I've got here is what's known as a mountain-style banjo, and you would think that all banjos would be mountain banjos, but that's not necessarily the case. This is a banjo that you would have seen and still do see as the traditional instrument over around Watauga County in the area around where Doc Watson, Frank Prophet, where those guys are from.
And it doesn't seem to, I guess it looks more embedded. The skin appears to be really deeply embedded in the shell.
Well, some people call them a Dixie can banjo because sort of the inside is actually sort of a can.
Yeah.
It's something that you can make without very many tools, just from flat boards. And there's sort of a metal can sort of sandwiched between a board in the front and a board in the back with the skin stretched over it, the top piece holding the tension on the the skin itself.
You make that one?
I did make this one.
Well, so is there a resurgence? You been in wonder, the Cold Mountain soundtrack,
right?
Robert Plant, Alison Krauss album, Willie Nelson.
Right.
So is there a resurgence in this, or has it ever, which I guess it's never really died.
But. Well, you know, I think a lot more people are getting into sort of traditional music or sort of now under the label of Americana music. Certainly traditional music is music from a long time ago, but Americana music as we know it now is music that people are creating. Well, all the traditional music, somebody wrote those tunes at some point, you know, so there has to be this continuation of that creative process. And I think people are really, you know, getting into that creative process and making folk music again, making traditional music.
Sounds great. Would you make some for us right here?
I'm going to make you a little tune right now. There was a huge anthology years ago that came out on the Folkways label called the Harry Smith Anthology, or the Anthology of American Folk Music. And one of the tunes that was on there, he found this record, this very obscure record done by a gentleman from up in Grayson County, North Carolina. Two gentlemen, actually. J.P. Nestor played banjo, and Uncle Norman Edmonds played the fiddle, and they played a tune called Train on the Island.
August live on The State of Things, a song called Train on the Island. What is amazing about that sound, as I sat here and listened, is the way the bass string, the low string, has this kind of reverb. And the high strings are bright, like I expect from a banjo, that real bright, crisp sound.
Right.
And sometimes that's all a banjo seems to do, and the lower notes are just lower versions of that same bright. This somehow has its own reverb and sounds like a separate bass, a separate instrument.
Right. Well, you know, the thing is, a lot of that comes from the skin and the fact that the instrument is open-backed. You know, what we see now more often is banjos that were have resonators on the back that were popularized, you know, largely by Earl Scruggs in the 1940s and 50s and 60s, of course, in bluegrass music.
And that just might make it a little louder, so it projects farther.
It makes it louder, but it also takes out some of that bass tone quality. Yeah. You know, they're really going for that cut, you know, of the treble sort of sound. And old-time musicians kind of go for that bass sound a little bit more.
That is a great sound. That's fantastic. Hey, you were good friends with Doc Watson. We lost him earlier this year.
We certainly did, and that was a huge loss for me and everybody else in the music world.
He taught you some music, didn't he?
Doc taught me many things. I was fortunate to get to become friends with Doc over the past few years and would call up Doc or go up to his house and visit, you know, and many, many times we'd never play a note. You know, you'd spend hours just listening to him tell stories. And that was worth the couple of hours drive over to Watauga County from Winston-Salem, you know.
What kind of stories did he like to tell? Did he like to tell road stories or stories?
He loved to tell stories about growing up. You know, and about learning to play music and the instruments that he had and the people that he knew. And he loved to tell about his mother singing him songs and things like that.
Will you play a song for us? Is this one he taught you?
Well, this is one that I learned from him. I didn't learn it from him directly. It was one that I learned from a recording of his. And the reason for that was when I was 10 years old, I got this Doc Watson Home Again was the name of the album. And this song really stood out. But talking to Doc about this song, this is a song that his mother used to sing to him when he was a little kid. And it's sort of one of those cautionary ballads, but it's one where the woman wins out in the end. It's called Katie Morey. Fellas from far and near, and listen to my story. Gonna tell you about the plans I made for Miss Katie Morey to Ronald Neck TIA. I went down to Miss Katie's house just like some clever feller, and I told her that the plums and the grapes was getting ripe and meller to Ronald Neck TIA. That her sister Nan that lived in Yander's Holler had sent for her to come down there and stay one half an hour to Utterotelic D-I-A-K-R-I-O. We was walking through the field, she squeezed my hand fiercer, said, Mama, she has come this way, she will catch us here, sir, to Utterotelic D-I-A-K-R-I-O. If you will climb up yonder's tree and see if she is near, sir, then we'll go to that pretty grove and we'll court and sport an hour to Utterotelic D-I-A-K-R-I-O. How he heaved to climb that tree till he was nearly winded. As Katie stood and smiled and watched just to see how high he ascended. Utterotelic D-I-A-K-R-I-O. His heart was a-pumping in his breast. The tree was gently swaying. As Katie stood and smiled and watched and hear what she was saying. Utterotelic D-I-A-K-R-I-O. Your ugly looks I do despise, and you look just like an owl, sir. And you scratch down like you scratched up, for I'm going back to the house, sir, to Utterotelic D-I-A-K-R-I-O.
Ugly as an owl.
That's right.
Ugly. Katie Morey is the name of the song. Riley Bogus is with us. Going to be at the Banjo Southern Roots American Branches Symposium. It's going to be starts tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Wilson Special Collections Library at UNC. On the show today, that's one of the great things about that old-time music. First of all, now the picture of Doc Watson's mama singing that song around the house while he's on her knee or watching to do the dishes or whatever.
Exactly. And teaching him to play it on an old homemade banjo, very much like the first one that I played. Wow. You know, so.
Well, the other great thing about that is the ballad, the story, the song that tells a story. And the next one you're going to play has quite a story attached to it as well.
Well, being from Winston-Salem, it seems appropriate that I should include this story and song in my presentations. There's a very famous song called Poor Ellen Smith, and everybody in the bluegrass world knows it. In the traditional music world, everybody knows Poor Ellen Smith. Well, Winston-Salem is where Ellen Smith lived and where she was murdered. She was a maid at the Zinzendorf Hotel in 1894. There was a local gentleman known as a drunkard and a ne'er-do-well whose name was Peter DeGraff. He also was employed at the hotel when he was employed. At something other than the consumption of the local liquid folk art. And he and Ellen got together. Well, he proceeded to do what young boys do sometimes, and he got this young girl pregnant. Well, he then sent her a note saying, "Ellen, please meet me by the creek behind, you know, the Zinzendorf Hotel." And then he signed it Peter DeGraff. At which point he met her behind there, and she had the note in her hand, in her apron. He met her at the creek behind the Zinzendorf Hotel and shot her through the heart. And she lay dying on the ground on the bank of the creek, holding the note, clutching the note in her hand. You know, so they found her. She was dead. They started seeking out Peter DeGraff. The note was signed, Peter DeGraff. You know, stupid criminals, right? Yeah. So they go in search of him for a year or more. He left town. He went to Mount Airy. They went, and the sheriff in Forsyth County, North Carolina at the time, was named Sheriff MacArthur. And he went and sent out all these people to find him. Well, there was a huge public outcry. You know, there a lot of people were for Peter DeGraff, said, "Oh, he didn't do it." A lot of people were saying, "Oh, yes, he did." You know, and a lot of people were completely appalled at how pitiful the local law enforcement was about tracking down this murderer, and, you know, it just went on and on and on. Well, at that time, apparently you could access the jail through the bars from the outside.
Well, Peter, Otis did it all the time.
That's right,
there.
Exactly. Well, Peter DeGraff wrote a song, all right? He wrote the song for Ellen Smith, set it to the lyrics of How Firm a Foundation, swearing that he was innocent. Tommy Jarrell's father, Tommy Jarrell's a great old-time fiddle player from up around Mount Airy, whom I learned a lot of music from. His father went to Winston-Salem, purchased the words of the song through the bars, and this is the version that I do.
Let's hear it.
All right. Through the heart, lying cold on the ground. Well, I urged back my tears when the people all said that Peter DeGraff had shot Ellen Smith dead. Too dearly to take her sweet life. Well, they grabbed their Winchesters, they hunted me down, but I was away in old Mount Airy town. MacArthur will hang me, he will if he can. God knows if they hang me, I'll die an innocent man.
Riley Boggess, the song is Ellen Smith. Whatever happened to old Peter DeGraff?
Well, Peter DeGraff swore his innocence right up until the time that they tripped the door on the gallows. Mm. And he said his last words were, "I did it."
Oh. So justice was done.
Justice was done.
The song, however, went on to live, and there's a couple of stories about that in its afterlife, right? Was it illegal to actually sing the song at one time?
Since everyone was so appalled in the community about the treatment by the law enforcement, and some people were pro-Peter and pro-Ellen, yeah, they put a law on the books that said there were always these skirmishes that would happen in town over this subject, and people would start singing the song, and then a brawl would break out. So they made a law that said there was a $50 fine to sing Ellen Smith in the city limits in Winston-Salem. And as far as I know, still on the books.
Still on the books, right? Listen, I want to give you time to play. Tell me very briefly the banjo symposium, what's going to happen there?
Oh, we're going to have a great time. There's going to be a lot of wonderful lecturers there. Stephen Wade's going to be one of them, Bob Carlin. There's going to be a wonderful performance tomorrow night. Myself with my longtime childhood friend, Kirk Sutphin, are going to do a little banjo fiddle duet. And we're going to be there with Dom Flemons and from the Carolina Chocolate Drops and Tony Trischka, a great, great three-finger style banjo player.
Going to be a lot of fun.
And
by the way, thanks for telling the hanging and the murder story on Law and Order Week.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that too. Riley Blunt, thanks so much for listening to this program. Banjo Southern Roots American Branches starts tomorrow at 10 o'clock, Wilson Special Collections Library. Riley's going to be there with all his friends. Check the UNC website for more. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachel. Once again, Riley Bogus.
Thanks, Frank. Play a little tune called John Brown's Dream. Thank you.